Thank you, Piccolo Chris. I have a feeling that cabbage is going to go down in history. That was beautiful. Oh, my goodness. All right. Are you guys ready for the word tonight? Ready, willing, and able? All right. Get out a Bible if you brought one tonight. We're going to do this. All right. Get out a Bible if you got one. If you don't have one, but the person next to you does, just steal it. I said steal it. Thieve. Go ahead. Did you see Star Wars? Everyone see it? All right. Did anyone notice that when Anakin turned to the dark side, he was not in the Jedi Temple and the security cameras should not have been on him? Frustrating. Frustrating. Did you notice that, Andre? I knew you did. I knew it. All right. Well, we're not talking about Star Wars tonight. It's a good thing the clock's broken so I can just talk as long as I want. Apparently, it is now 9:45 in the morning. All right. What are we talking about? Someone tell me. What have we been talking about for the last 3-4 weeks? Tell me. Look at this. You look like Anakin. Oh, my goodness. Look at his face. He's been scarred. He fell into a lava pit on the planet of Mustafa. Muhammad Mustafa something. I don't know. Poor guy. Got a polo injury. We don't have a lot of time tonight, so I'm going to talk really fast and good to you. By the way, thank you for the Zen Micro. I'm very speechless. I actually have been wanting a Zen Micro for a while because all you guys that bought iPods, you got ripped off big time. All right, especially Brian. But we've been talking about the power of passionate young people, and so I've been trying to take a walk through the scripture, and we've been examining different young people's lives who are really passionate about different things, and especially about God's purpose for them, and looking at different aspects of their lives and how it helped them, how it didn't. We talked about encouragement. Last week, we talked about these four guys that let their friends down and brought their friend to Jesus. And today, I want to talk to you quickly. My goodness, I don't know. I'm going to keep looking at that clock, and it's just going to keep saying 9:45. That's really going to mess me up. I don't know how we're going to do this, but we're going to do it. I have 2 pages of scripture to read to you. Look at that. Wow. Everyone say wow. That's like more scripture than some of you have read your whole life. That's amazing. So somehow I'm going to have to summarize it for you. Is that okay? So I think we better pray because otherwise we're going to be here all night. Let's pray. Father, right now we thank you that you are here in this place. God, we believe your word that when we gather in your name, you're with us. Lord, you're with us to speak to us. And Father, we didn't come here to hear a man. Lord, I didn't come here to hear myself talk. Father, we want to hear you speak to us today. Now, Lord, would you give me your anointing? Lord, would you empower me to speak your word? God, open our hearts as we listen in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen, would you? All right. I want to talk to you tonight from a message I'm entitling The Presence Addiction. Tell the person next to you, I'm addicted. Where's Jeremy Ton? Where are you? Stand up. Look at this guy. Stand up. Come on, Jeremy. Stand up. Do it. This guy's amazing. He's a walking sermon illustration. Get up on your chair. Get up on that chair. Get. Stand up. Look at his shirt. I walked in here today. It says, Get Addicted. What an amazing guy. Give this man a hand for buying a cool shirt. Amazing. The Presence Addiction. Now, I want to talk to you about the Presence Addiction. Do you know that there are a lot of addictions in the culture that we live in? And I'm not just talking about substance addictions. There's all kinds of things that you could be addicted to. There are addictions as far as people's social lives. They get addicted to certain people in certain places. There are addictions that come in the form of entertainment. You could be addicted to television. You could be addicted to Star Wars, sadly enough. You could be. You could, what? PlayStation 2, all right, thank you for that example. I appreciate you inputting into this message. PlayStation 2, yes, you could be. You could be addicted to substances. Let me tell you about a huge addiction in our culture, maybe you've never thought of. You know, I don't know if you realize that there is an SMS addiction. Did you realize that? It got really quiet in here all of a sudden. You're like, how many of you, your phone bill was more than $50 last month? Lift up your hand. Lift it high and proud. Don't lie in church. How many? You're seriously, more than $50. I'm not taking names. High and proud. Come on. Wave your hand like, okay, more than, keep it up. More than 60, more than 70, my goodness, 80, 90, 100, 110, 120, 130, 140, 150, 160, my goodness, 170, 180, 190. One man in the back still got his hand up. He is from ACS Barker Road. Are you lying or are you telling the truth? 200? Give him a hand. Only an Axian could spend $200 on their phone bill. All right. I got to tell you, mine was $200 too. All right. So it's all right. SMSing all these youth ministers. All right. SMS addiction. Now, listen to this. I want to tell you the statistics for SMS globally. Maybe you didn't realize this. In the year 2000, 17 billion SMSs were sent worldwide. That doesn't sound like a lot to you. Okay. In the year 2001, how many years different is that? 250 billion SMSs were sent. In the year 2004, 500 billion SMSs. Wow. Yes, that would explain why some of your phone bills are so high. China's mobile phone users sent more than 15.6 billion SMS in 1 month in January 2004. That was a 91% increase from 2003. 90%. There are a lot of Chinese SMSs flying around, all right? And now check this out. This is important for you to hear. Because you need to be prepared. Now, I'm your pastor, and I'm here to help you. I'm going to help you. I want you just put your hand on your neighbor's shoulder. They're going to need you right now. A new survey shows that 9% of mobile phone users have admitted to having dumped a boyfriend or girlfriend by sending an SMS. Yeah, it's coming. It's coming. If it hasn't, it's coming. Have any of you done that? Don't show your hand, all right? And if you're between the ages of 15 to 24, the figure rate rises to 1 out of 5, 20%. Oh, addictions. Smoking is a big addiction in our generation. Do you know that tobacco is the second cause of death worldwide? It's the second largest cause. It is currently responsible for 1 out of 10 adults' deaths worldwide. 5 million people a year from tobacco use. By the year 2020, it will be 10 million every year dying from tobacco use. Now, here's the thing. 75% of adults that started smoking before the age of 21. And 1 in 4 students, okay, quarter of those people, 13 to 15 years old, if you've ever smoked and you're 13 to 15 years old, then 1 out of 4 of you would have smoked your first cigarette before the age of 10. Teenage smokers who smoke are 3 times, check this out, more likely than non-smokers to use alcohol, 8 times more likely to use marijuana, 22 times more likely to use cocaine. Smoking is also associated with other risky behaviors such as fighting and premarital sex. And check this out. After all that, 9 out of 10 smokers say they want to quit. Oh, that's nice. That's nice. You ready for the next one? Addictions. We're talking about addictions. Are you with me? The internet.
Dun, 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 dun.
Behavioral research shows that internet users demonstrate similar patterns of abuse as found in compulsive gambling. You thought the casino was bad, all right? 30% of internet users admit to using the net to alter their mood to relieve a negative mood state. So when they're in a bad mood, they log on to try to cheer themselves up. In other words, they use it as a drug. I know that because I read your MSN nicknames and they're ridiculous. It's like, you know, Harry512 at hotmail.com. The world is gonna end. I hate my life. Finding Nemo 2386. Someone shoot me. You know, like, seriously, get a grip. The number one search term used at search engines all over the world is sex. According to Alexa Research, users search for the word sex more than any other term, such as games, travel, music, jokes, cars, weather, health, and jobs combined. Yeah, don't look so holy, because these stats came from someone, you know. So, yeah. The study also found that pornography or porno was the 4th most searched for subject. I know I'm not talking to anybody in here, though. So I'm here to ask you a question. I had a lot of scripture, I had a lot of stories, but we're going to cut a few things out. I want to ask you tonight, young person, and especially if you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, I want you to hang with me for a while. I'd like you to open your heart and listen to what I have to say. Would you consider yourself addicted to the Holy Spirit? Would you consider yourself addicted to the Holy Spirit? Or if you're not a Christian tonight, would you consider yourself addicted to God? Hello?
Luke, I am your father.
What is that? Are orcs coming, or what is... Thanks, sound guys. All right. Apparently it's the old demon in the amp trick. All right, so back to the thing. Would you consider yourself addicted to the Holy Spirit? If you're here in this place, what are you here for? You're not a Christian. Are you here just to check it out? You just want to see why all these crazy people gather? Maybe you've heard about God, you go to church, some of you are sort of religious, but are you addicted to it? Are you even open to giving your life completely to this thing called Jesus? Are you so addicted, if you're a Christian, to the prayer, to prayer, the word, and church, that people would notice? I want you to think about that and ask yourself that question. Are you so addicted that they would notice? Or are there habits? Check this out. Are there habits to back up your addiction? Or are you a self-proclaimed addict? Are you hearing me tonight? You're really quiet. Don't go like this. Are you a self-proclaimed addict? Let me give you a definition of addiction. You ready? Addiction. It means to give oneself up to a strong habit, to be controlled by a habit. So in other words, it shapes what you do. You're accustomed to it. It's routine. It becomes second nature. So the question tonight, young person, is what do you do on a regular basis that's second nature to you? You don't even think about it. What are you addicted to? Or are you addicted to anything? Do you even care? Or is your life given to anything? Now, I would wager that everyone in this place, you're addicted to something. And the habits in your life tell what you're addicted to. Not what you say or not how you act. And you see, if you're not addicted to anything in your life, if there is nothing that you're just wholeheartedly running after, you will be moved by anything. You will be swayed by everyone's opinion, by the newest fads that come out, by anything else. And more than anything, I really believe this, if you're going to really learn how to be a young person that lives their life with passion and with focus, you need habits. Everyone say habits. All right? You got to have habits. It's not enough to say, yeah, I'm an addict, man. Oh, yeah, hook me up. Come on. Give me the presence of God. Now that you're near, everything is different. Not enough. Was that a snort? Are you a snorter? All right. I love snorters. You know, Carissa sometimes, if she really laughs a long time, Carissa does that. All right. Don't tell her I told you. You need habits. Habits, you know, the definition of a habit is something that's done often and easily. So what do you do often and very easily? And number one, you're all sitting here, I'm not addicted. Man, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not addicted to SMS. Amen, Pastor Jeremy. Amen. I'm not. What are you talking about? No, I don't know. And your hand is on your handphone. Hello? What do you do often and easily? You know, can you sit for 10 minutes without checking it? The first thing you do when you wake up, you went to bed at 4:00 in the morning, you got up at 6:30 and you check it. Any SMS? Oh, nothing. What do you do often and easily? Maybe you scold people. Maybe you're addicted to being a jerk and you just say things you shouldn't say. It comes out of you. It happens often. It happens easily. It's second nature. It's just who you are. What are you addicted to in your life? Because your habits will tell. And I wanted to tell you, but I didn't have the time tonight, about a young man named Saul in the Bible. You see, this man was destined to be the king of Israel, and he was anointed. And the interesting thing is, as you read the story of Saul, that he is found in the presence of God many times. He prophesies. He even begins to tell the future about things. And yet he comes and he sacrifices before God. He gets with men of God. He's found in a place where holy people are, and yet he's a self-proclaimed addict of the presence of God. He's not really addicted in his life. His lifestyle doesn't show it. He's not living. His habits and the way he lives, his attitudes don't show it. And you see, the way you speak, the way you talk, I remember I used to be addicted to stupid jokes. Oh my goodness. You think I tell stupid jokes now? It's nothing. Nothing. I was an idiot in high school. I mean, really, I would have slapped myself if I was back there in high school with me. I mean, I was stupid. And I would just say mean things. I'd say stupid things. You know why? Because I'm small. I mean, now I'm huge, but I was small. No, I'm not a big guy. I had the smartest mouth. I'm telling you, I almost got killed like so many times because I would say stupid things to large, muscular people. I'd make fun of them. I'd say all kinds of stuff. I'd tell dumb jokes, stuff just come out of my mouth until finally, and I love God. You got to figure it out. But one person came up to me and said, wow, you know, you're a pastor's son. Yeah, I didn't know pastor's sons could tell jokes like that. And I was like, oh. What are the habits of your life? The simple, man, I had to change the way I talk. I had to change the way I think. God, I say I love you. I say I'm addicted to you, but what comes out of me normally, it's not matching up. And I had to so work on it and change and ask God to help me that by the time I got to university, I'm telling you, people come up and they were like, it was different. They say like, how come, man, you're like, you're just different. You talk different. You're like holy. You know, I mean, woo, Jeremy, he's holy. You know, be careful, don't touch him. I mean, really, people say stuff like, they'd be like, yeah, you know, I remember when you first came and you were like, man, holy, you know, just in prayer all the time. And in the word, you know, I was like, boy, something changed in my life. And you see, if there are wrong habits in your life, If there's wrong addictions in your life, regardless, you could be, I mean, you could be addicted to cigarettes, you could be addicted to the internet, you could be addicted to wrong relationships, you could be addicted to saying stupid things, you could be addicted to some guy or some girl, but I'm telling you what, your addiction will not be removed by standing up here singing a few songs. Your addiction will not be removed by speaking in tongues for half an hour. Your addiction will not be removed by simply planting yourself in this building tonight. Your life will not change because of that. Because it's a habit. The minute you move out of this spiritual atmosphere, you will be the exact same person you were when you came in. Now, if God touches you, if you open your heart, yeah, it's possible. He could change your life right away. But I want to talk to you about a presence addiction. Everyone say presence addiction. Because I really believe like that Saul missed it. He missed it with his life to the point that this guy that was found in the presence of God ended up being filled with an evil spirit, the Bible says. Being as far from God's presence as you could get. Being removed as king, his whole destiny destroyed. And I'm going to define it as this, a presence addiction, an obsession to be in or around God's presence frequently. An obsession to be in or around God's, you just can't get enough. You just got to be there. Man, you got to get in his presence. Not just a church, at home, anytime you just say, you know what, young person, Christianity and knowing Jesus Christ is so much more than having a Bible and is so much more than just sitting in a green chair, you know, on Saturday nights, that there is a promise that God's presence can be with you every day, all day, for the rest of your life. Anywhere you go, never leave you, never forsake you. Anytime you need him, he's right there that you could call him. It's not just about having some rules and regulations. It's not just about fulfilling some kind of code. It is about having a living, active relationship with God. And I am addicted to the presence of God. I got to tell you, as I prepared this and I began to think about this week, I looked at my life and I said, God, there's things in my life that don't match up. There's habits that don't match up. God, there's things that I do naturally that don't say I'm addicted to you, but God, make me addicted to your presence. I want you to listen to these scriptures. Are you still with me tonight? Are you sure? All right. Psalm 27:4. I didn't want to get too deep on you. I thought I lost some of you with the SMS thing. So there's some people crying in the back under conviction. Psalm 27:4. Are you there? Are you there? Psalm 27:4. It is right in the middle of your Bible. Are you there yet? Just give me a little whoop whoop. All right. This is what David says. Now, this is the difference between David's life and Saul's life. Oh, you're not there because it's up on the screen. I see how it is. All right. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire at his temple. This is the difference between David and Saul. Saul entered the presence sometimes. David had an addiction, an obsession with being with God, an absolute obsession to just say, God, I want you to come into my life. I don't just want some religion. I don't just want some rules. I want to be totally, absolutely experiencing the reality of God. And young person, tonight, if you're here and you don't know Jesus, I'm telling you, this is the reason why you're here, to experience the reality of God. And if you would open your heart to him, you would experience him. He is real tonight, and he is in this place. And this is why David's so different. This is why we're crazy about this young man who was so passionate, because he's addicted to God's presence. Psalm 84, verse 1. Turn there quick. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord. I just got to be with you with my whole being, body, and soul. I shout joyfully to the living God. That's a statement of an addict. It's a statement of someone that's absolutely beside themselves. Jump down to the end of the chapter, Psalm 84, verse 10. David says, you know what? A single day in your courts is better than 1,000 anywhere else. I would rather be a gatekeeper in the house of my God than live the good life in the homes of the wicked. Did you catch that? I'd rather spend one day, God, in your presence than 1,000 doing. I'd rather spend one day with you, God, than 1,000 days listening to my sweet new Blue Zen Micro. Thank you, Jesus. I would rather spend one day with you, God, than hooking up with all the guys and all the girls in this world. I would rather spend one day with you, God, than spend 1,000 days on the internet. I would rather spend one day with you than get 1,000 free SMS from StarHub every month. Come on. Let's hear it for StarHub's 900 SMS plan. That's the thing that saved me. No, I'm just kidding. Can you catch what he's saying? I'd rather spend a day with you, God, than 1,000 days watching English Premiership football like Elvin. I would rather spend one day with you, God, than 1,000 days hanging out with my friends, than 1,000 days going on all the trips, seeing all the best stuff of life. I would rather just be in your presence because I'm addicted. You see, when you're addicted to something, you throw everything else out the window. Do you realize that? That's how you can tell you're addicted. Man, I knew when I was addicted to my wife. Oh my goodness. When I met Carissa and we started dating, I was addicted. It messed me up inside. I couldn't stop thinking about her. I couldn't focus. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't care about studying or anything. Sorry, Dad. But you know, I just was thinking about her all the time. I was addicted. The first night, I remember when finally I felt like God said, you know what, this is the one for you. This is the time. It's the right time. It's the right person. We talked and we said, hey, you know, I think we should pursue this in a holy way, everything else. I didn't even sleep all night long. I love sleep. I love it. I hate staying awake. If you ever find me at an all-night thing, I am miserable. If I'm smiling, I am faking it. I hate staying awake. There is nothing more that I desire than to be asleep at night. I mean, to be in my little bed under my soft cotton sheets, 300 thread count, on my fluffy down pillow that has huge drool stains all over it, just snuggled on up. I love it. But that night, I just couldn't sleep. I couldn't think. I was just sitting there in bed. Me like Carissa. Addicted. Absolutely addicted. Made me do crazy stuff. I was late for class. I was late for everything. We were just together as much as, you know, we could find time in between our busy schedules and ministry and church and stuff. We're just addicted. She was very addicted to me. If you go look at her class notes from like even before we ever started dating, you know what you'll find? I mean, you'll find like psychology notes, like, you know, blah, blah. I don't know. I don't remember anything about psychology. I got to be honest with you. Psychological stuff, you know. And then it'll say, Carissa Seward. In cursive. Biology notes. Carbon skeletons, blah, blah, blah. Carissa J. Seward. Jeremy and Carissa Seward. Carissa and Jeremy Seward. Carissa Hart Jeremy. Are you getting this? Some of you girls are smiling a little too big. You know you do it. The most important thing in finding a spouse is making sure your names don't sound stupid together. That's important. It's spiritual. It has to happen. So she's testing it out. She's addicted, man. It's all she's thinking about. I'm surprised she passed. But you see, look, when you get addicted, you throw other things out. When someone's addicted to drugs or cigarettes, it doesn't matter how important something else is. It doesn't matter how important paying the rent is, being in healthy relationships is. Everything else goes out the windows to support that addiction. Everything else. It just doesn't matter anymore. The focus changes. The direction of your life begins to change. And everything you do revolves around this because the habits that come out of your life support it. So listen, tonight you say you're addicted. You say, yeah, I love the presence, Jeremy. I agree. I think you're saying great things. I think this makes sense to me. But listen, you cannot separate, young person, the presence of God. You cannot separate it from the disciplines that bring the presence of God. Hello? Can somebody say, uh-huh, amen, I agree, that's good preaching, Jeremy, thank you, I'm encouraged. You can't separate God's presence from the disciplines that bring it. You can't separate God's presence from holiness in your life. I mean, you can say you're addicted all you want, but if the habits of your life aren't holy, you're not addicted to the presence. You can't separate God's presence from prayer. You can't separate God's presence from the Word. You can't separate God's presence from obedience to God, to the authority He's placed in your life. You can't separate God's presence from submission in your life to godly authority. You cannot separate that because these are the habits that bring the presence. So whatever you think you're addicted to tonight, whatever you think your life is on track, I want you to really be honest. I don't know. I'm not going to tell you what your habits are, but you got to be honest with yourself. Do the habits in my life match up with my professed addiction? Maybe you say you're addicted to truth. You're really interested in knowing the truth. Then I'm going to ask you, would you open your heart tonight and know the truth about Jesus? Maybe you're addicted to studying. Maybe you're addicted to school. Well, listen, would you study this book? Would you study this God? Would you study what this is about? Because, you see, you can't separate these things from God's presence, because sin in your life always removes you from His presence. Always. It will always remove you from the presence. From the very first time sin came into the world, it removed people from His presence. It will send you packing faster than you can blink. And I'm not just talking about wanting God's presence like tonight. Or Sunday, or something like that. I'm not. Because this is simple. This is easy. You know, you don't have almost anything to do with God's presence being here tonight, whether you're addicted or not. There are presence addicts in this room. And when they come, God shows up. And there are some people that come in, and you're not an addict. You're just kind of a groupie. You've got like a presence t-shirt, got a presence little rubber bracelet thing, got a presence hat, got a shirt that says, get addicted. But you come in and you're not really an addict like they are. You see, if you're in God's presence on Sunday, yeah, we all want to be there on Sunday. We all want to be here tonight. But what's happening? What steps are you taking daily in your life? Everyone say daily. What steps are you taking daily to cultivate the presence of God? Because if you're not doing it daily, then you're not addicted at all. You're not. And this is what I sat here and I looked. I said, God, how many times have I forgotten about you for a day? How many times have I forgotten about you for a week? God, I don't want it. I don't want to settle for this. I want to be addicted to your presence. Psalm 51:11. Turn there in your Bible. Psalm 51:11. I don't care if it's up on the screen. Just turn there in your Bible anyway. Here's what it says. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. This is David's cry. This is when he knows he's messed up, when he knows everything else is going wrong. You know what his one cry is? It's not like, don't punish me. It's not, Lord, don't get mad at me. It's not, please just forget about it. His one desire, the one thing that comes out of his mouth is, Lord, don't take me from your presence. God, whatever you do, anything else can happen, but just don't take me from your presence. Because I couldn't take that. Yeah, he's addicted, you see. It's not that you never make a mistake. It's not that you're perfect your whole life, but you're just addicted. The number one thing, and so when God comes in, and when you understand the word of God and it says, you know what, you shouldn't act this way, it's not a bad thing. You don't go, oh man, why is God trying to run my life? You just say, man, yeah, it's worth it. It's worth it. If it brings a presence, it's worth it. All I need is His presence. 1 Kings 9:9 says, then they will answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have embraced other gods and worshiped them. And serve them. Therefore, the Lord has brought all this calamity on them. And this scripture begins to talk about this idea of embracing something other than God. And I really believe what God wants tonight is that every one of us would embrace God's presence and embrace His reality and really begin to live a life of passion. That, God, I am addicted to your presence. At school, I'm addicted to your presence. God, in the cafeteria, I'm addicted to your presence. Lord, on my way home in the bus, I'm addicted to your presence. God, don't let the habits that come out of me without thinking. First thing you do, have you ever thought about it? First thing you do when you get on the MRT, turn on your new really cool Zen Micro, 5 gigabytes, glowing blue lights that fade in and out as it's charging. Pop it in your ears, you start listening to some music. Do you ever think about stopping and saying, you know what, God, can I have your presence right now? God, I love the music, I love everything else, but God, I want your presence right now. When you're having a bad day, when everything's going wrong, before you pick up the phone to call your friend, before you jump online to go talk to someone about how you're feeling, before you blow up and talk to someone, do you ever think about getting away and just saying, God, I need your presence. Lord, it's your presence. God, let the thing that comes as second nature from my life be that I am absolutely consumed with having your presence in me and around me and with me. God, that I know you're speaking to me, you're real in my life. Young person, if I didn't believe that there was a real God who could really speak to you, who could really change your life, I wouldn't be standing here in front of you. I wouldn't do it. I'm not playing games with you tonight. I'm not playing games with myself. I'm telling you, the presence of God is the only thing that you can ever count on. There's been times in my life when I know no one's been there. Times when I've been alone. No one's seen it. No one was there to see it when I was crying. No one was there. And I didn't expect them to be there. But God came through. God broke through for me. That's why I know it's changed my life. I remember as a young boy, God coming and just sweeping into my room, feeling like I could almost feel Him holding me and hugging me. And I realized that day the reality of God, that He would come in like a father and be with me. that he would come in and care so much, the God of all the universe, to give me his presence, to make himself known. And I'm telling you, that was the day my life changed forever. A young person, I didn't have time tonight to kind of get into all the details that I wanted to share. And with whatever strength I have, I've tried to communicate to you this message. And I hope that it speaks to your heart. I'm not here to just make you feel guilty or tell you you're bad. I'm telling you, I need this message. I'm telling you, I sat and prayed in my office and said, God, make me an addict. God, take away other habits. Take away other things that come out of me. God, make the habit of my life addiction to your presence.